Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife, and he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody, send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. It's me, Jackie Cation, and I'm in my garage, and it's the Dork Forest, and this week's guest, Benny Blue. It's at Benny Blue Eyes, which I assume he has blue eyes. I'm looking right at him. Looking right at him. Hello, eyeballs. Oh, he does have blue eyes. They're very nice. Welcome to the show, Benny. How you doing?
Hey, thank you. Fun fact on my non-existent Wikipedia page, blue eyes with a gold ring. The iris. Yeah, if we can get a little.
You're like a Harlequin romance novel wandering the earth here.
Yeah, I really am.
Might
be a shapeshifter. You never know. You know, it's the
right, a Blade Runner like moment. Yeah. Right. You could go to the YouTube page and you would have just seen Benny bringing his eye real close to the camera.
For the listeners, as we say in podcast land. For the listeners, I got disturbingly close to the camera.
It's at BennyBlueEyes.com and at BennyBlueEyes on Instagram and such. But you have a new album and special out called Live from My Mother's Funeral.
That's right.
I take it your mother passed away?
She did. Would be fantastic if she was in the audience for me to let her have it. But she did. She passed away in 2021, and it was a whole to-do, which has a tie into today's topic. So I won't spoil.
Oh my
lead,
gosh!
We'll get to it. Very, very salacious,
cracker,
if you will.
Since I happen to know the topic, that sounds devastating. In other news, Benny Blue, welcome to the Dork Forest. People should find your stand-up. It's on all the streaming. It's on like Apple and YouTube. And
Spotify, the things. BennyBlueEyes.net or .com, right there on the homepage. You can't miss it. You can click play from your toilet or wherever you may be, and it's right there.
And we believe in you.
Yeah.
But don't tell me that you've done it from the toilet, because I don't need to know.
That's everybody else's
all
business.
Other things. Yeah. You can email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com. Attainable goal. Let's continue to talk about your dorkdom, which we've done a couple episodes. I don't necessarily know what I've retained. So let's go forward and find out. True crime docuseries and documentaries.
Yeah, both.
We're back, true crime.
Yeah.
True crime, it holds the allure. What I ask this of all the people who like things that scare me. What draws you to it? Is it cathartic? What is it?
I think it's because Hollywood is dead and it's the only content that's available.
Interesting. So like, there's old movies. You could watch older stuff. Did you know Homicide: Life on the Streets is on Netflix now?
Yeah.
Or possibly Peacock.
That is a sad state of streaming. It's like
It's a
Dick Van Dyke show on Hulu now. That's all we have. It's all legacy programming and Nicole Kidman and starring in some sort of novel adaptation or Marvel movie.
She's
pretty much what we got.
she's available.
Yeah.
So the true crime stuff, you're just watching it because it feels like it's the only thing to see on TV.
Well, the stuff that I can always sink my teeth into, I think, like I'm sure with some recent guests, when we talk about the activator for some of our dorkdom, is the lockdown really kind of kicked this in overdrive. Some folks got into, goat farming. Check your York Forest archive for the previous episode on that, of course. I'll be ayahuasca adjacent.
And I wish.
I know. And now I was with my then girlfriend, now fiance, and we knew the world's ended.
Congratulations.
So thank you. So we now, as you check your glasses, thank you. Now we were watching stuff, and it all kind of kicked off with the, did you watch the McMillions docuseries on HBO Max? Formerly known as HBO Max, now Max.
What? No, I did not. How is that something?
Great. It was a great primer to really kick off this addiction in a true crime docuseries. It's about someone trying to scam and scheme their way into winning the McDonald's McMillions, like where you pull the sticker off the cup back in the day. Deal.
I did read an article about that.
A good one.
And
that's a good one.
And I did do the McMillions when the first time it came out. I was a child back in the 12th century. Oh. McDonald's did exist. It was in the late 70s, early 80s, you guys, probably 80, 81. Yeah. And I used to walk between McDonald's because there was a time frame and I would hope to win something because we were poor. Not super poor, but poor enough. The poor that six children makes you in Wisconsin. So essentially I'd go to McDonald's in South Milwaukee. Then I'd walk to the next town over, which is about 4 miles away. I also didn't have a lot of friends. It's a free time.
Yeah, well, this is after clear school. In the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Clear. I think it's pretty obvious. So I'd walk there. Then I'd walk to Cudahy. Then I'd walk back. So I could get ostensibly, if I had enough time, 3 McMillions. And if I was lucky, I would win like a fries and a soda.
I was going to say
between the three of them.
That was usually what we all got, was like just more product to feed the beast of McDonald's.
Right. I did collect them, but I couldn't have built hotels on Jack. I got nothing. Like, so McMillions, this person tried to scam by doing how did they do it? Hopefully smarter than I did when I was 14.
Yeah, it was this web of other people, as these schemes tend to be, these poor saps who end up doing sort of the confessional interviews in these sorts of deals. And they're like, I didn't know what was going on. And they're trying to play dumb. And it's like this cross country RICO indictment sort of level thing for trying to win like a PlayStation. And it's like, that's a lot going on.
Right. Risk. You can save up. And then 4.5 months later, you could probably get
quarter pounders And they chose the game. They chose the gamble of it. And like many of these docuseries, it you have to watch it for the entire web to kind of the sort of brilliance cross section with the idiocy of whatever they were trying to pull off and win this.
It's always so sad to me that they don't let the editors of these reality shows and get writer's credit, because they're the ones that are putting together the story, right? Because as you go, I mean, it wasn't written, right? Ostensibly it was a documentary of it was just interviews, right?
Yeah, it's all interview based, and obviously they'll, you know, like with a lot of these, they'll take, you know, news clippings and that sort of thing. But What I find astounding to a docuseries is how much these people, once you get them in the chair, it's like pulling a string out of their back. They just will divulge everything. And it's like, you are making yourself look so stupid, and they don't have to do any editing. They're like, cut, print. We got it. Thank you.
Right. I did do Last Comic Standing. And the only thing that I will say that, was done nicely was that I was cut to not look insane, which of course is why I didn't make the house. But because they're going to want that.
Yeah.
That's one of the keys they're going to want. They're not going to want some sort of steady, sober, just working comic who's like, well, you know, I'm just trying to entertain people and kind of make it smart and fun and interesting. They're like, oh, next, please.
Yeah.
And so fair enough.
Fatal flaw. You should have said that you were busking in the subway station and your family left you and you went bankrupt. And then you would have been you would have been holding a gold plaque right now.
Exactly. Like, that's what would have won it. Backstory. I would have got 3 years of corporates out of it that I didn't want. So that would have been fine, Benny. That's what I understand was the gift that you did get out of it if you made the house. Okay, so the McMillions. I'm never going to watch this thing. I'm going to need a spoiler. Did they win?
Yes, but also they were gloriously caught, which was what makes it fun. Because I mean, look, it wouldn't be any fun if they didn't like really get to the mountaintop with this thing. But they do. Right.
They should have won. Like there were real prizes. There was at least like $100,000 or something. I think there was an instant that was $100,000.
There's one, and I believe this is not included in any sort of pre-production list. But there's one that's adjacent to this that might pique your interest or your listener viewer interest. I believe it's called Where's My Jet, and it's another guy who scams. I believe it was Pepsi in the 90s was doing a bottle cap thing about where you could actually win a jet, but it was a promotion. Right. That they just did. They basically said, like, they made a commercial. They was like, you can even win a jet, but they're clearly being facetious. And the guy took it to heart and was like, no, I want my damn jet. So he fights and fights and fights to try to get this jet. So it's kind of that sort of like product sort of.
I think that was in the same article.
Probably.
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was an article about documentaries about people who game the system. Did you ever see now? Welcome to the Dork Forest, Benny Blue, where we never get to talk about the thing you want to talk about. Did you ever see a movie called Real Genius?
Ooh.
With Val Kilmer?
Ooh, that sounds like a Val Kilmer deep cut. When did that come out?
In the, like, 80, 82, 84, yeah. Like, so early. It was essentially, it came out the same time as, like, War Games and The Last Starfighter, and it's a nerd movie. Matter of fact, I own it. I own it on DVD. I may have to pull it out of
You're caping for this one, so it sounds like you have hard media of this.
Because there is a character who is a math genius who essentially McMillions. And so that is and he ends up owning, spoiler alert, Real Genius from 40 years ago, you guys. He wins an RV. Okay, so it's not something
Rotten
you would
Tomatoes
want.
Live, everybody. This segment is brought to you by Reviews You Didn't Ask For.
So during lockdown, this was the subtle, like introductory to all of a sudden, you're just in true crime. Like true crime is scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I did two episodes, maybe three with Michelle McNamara, who was one of the key people who ended up catching that golden.
Yes. I'm very familiar with this. Steve. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So two or three episodes of The Dork Forest, if you guys want to go back in time, 15 years and listen to those three episodes, you knock yourselves out. But it was actually terrifying. She was talking to me about the Golden State Killer. It was before he got caught, of course, because she helped. But what are your favorite ones? Like, are they the ones where they catch him or the ones where they don't catch him?
I am always a sucker for a twist. There's plenty, and this aggravates me to no end because it goes back to my theory of Hollywood just trying to pump out content. There are so many of these that just have no resolution. They're like, well, we couldn't find her body. And then that's after six hours of programming and investing into this. Grinds my gears to no end. But I like ones that are just like, what the hell is even going on? That has to be my initial reaction. There's one that came out recently. It was on Netflix, but it wasn't produced by Netflix, which I think actually kind of made it a little bit better. It's called Tell Them You Love Me. And basically the elevator pitch is if we're talking about genre of the audacity and unmitigated goal of delusional white women, boy, you're going to be in for a treat for this one.
Hello.
Yes. Oh, piquing your interest. Yeah, this is where we're going.
Uh-huh.
And
what do you got? Tell them you love me.
Yes. It is a woman. It is a woman who was a professor at Rutgers, and she enters into a romantic relationship with a disabled nonverbal person. And they communicate.
What did she teach? If I may lateral.
She I'm trying to remember. I want to say.
Remember her name?
Anna Stubblefield. If you look her up, her name is Anna Stubblefield.
Okay.
By the way, when you have a gig as a college professor, there are very few certainties in today's job market. Being a professor, and I don't know if she's like a tenured professor, whatever the case may be, but like how many gigs like that where it's just like, just don't screw up and you keep the gig? And
right.
She couldn't even do
you
that.
Should.
By the way, yeah. this woman was married at the time and pursuing a person who could not communicate the fact that he was actually consensually participating in this romantic relationship. And it all centers around this thing they call facilitated communication. It's basically like picture like Stephen Hawking, but not racist. And you're poking and you're doing, that's how you're spelling words. And it becomes clear that this woman's delusion knows no bounds, and there's elements.
Have you ever seen one of those, the dog buttons?
Yes.
Is it more like that?
No, that would just be
less
cruel.
Complicated.
Yeah, that would just be right. Cruel. But it's this whole intersection of like race and class and this sort of thing. Because obviously, and the bizarre thing about it is, her husband is a black man, and this person, this disabled nonverbal man that she's going after is also a young black man. I don't understand like what this woman was thinking.
The young nonverbal guy is that she sexually assaulted essentially.
Yes.
Is
oh, by the way, that also is nonverbal. Yes, is nonverbal and cannot consent.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, I needed to know what she taught because where's the hubris? Where's the ego? Yeah. And it's philosophy. She taught.
Yeah, of course.
Professor of philosophy.
Yeah.
And she was a practitioner of facilitated communication. So essentially, she just used the guy as a guinea pig.
Basically, yeah.
But then more than that, because it was free. What was happening?
Yeah.
She
started like going to his house because obviously his family are his caregivers, his mother and his brother. And she's like spending time with him as if he is her participating boyfriend. And wow. Her mother, in so many words, was like, hell to the absolute no. And chaos ensues.
Right. Wow. That is, that would be a compelling narrative if it were fiction. Sadly, it is fact.
Yeah.
And so tell them you love me is clearly her telling him to tell the people who are judging her that you love me with this facilitated communication.
Yes, which has been in it by different medical journals and the like has been debunked quite a bit, and basically it became clear that she was like, hey, let me write this essay for you when he would get to hello and that was it. I mean, very, you know, sweet young man, but she's basically giving this dissertation about like, we love each other and we're gonna be together, and her mom was like, are you out of your Karen mind? What are you doing?
Right. It always felt bad that it was poor Karen. No one's naming the kid Karen anymore.
Yeah.
But I knew some, my arch enemy in grade school was, in junior high was Vicky. How come that didn't get vilified?
Yeah.
But, we had to go with Karen.
Yeah.
She sounds like she's out of her damn mind. She looks slightly, mad as well. When you look at her, just not mad, not crazy mad, but like sort of the certainty, you can see this sort of like, I just saw a picture of her, Anna Stubblefield, and she just looked so assured that she was correct.
The confidence in her delusion was pretty remarkable. You got to give it to her.
Right.
I mean,
you just got to go, well, if confidence could have sold it, ma'am, you would be in love with this guy who's 30 years younger than you, 20.
Yes.
Easily.
Yeah. And the age gap, never mind the age gap, never mind the fact that this man literally cannot participate in what you're trying to do. You go to court, your mom is standing up for you. And you, once you see your mom in the confessional, you see where she gets it from, haircut included. It's a lot going on behind. It's kind of behind the eyes.
So this is six episodes.
So this is an actual documentary. This is in one.
Okay.
So digestible. Oh, so
2.5 hour.
Yep. Not even that long. I think it's about an hour and a half. So
okay.
Good watch. If you want the right. White woman Hall of Fame level delusion, that's one of the best I've seen.
Just
this
a caricature of how bad it can get when you're pretty sure and society is okay with you being out of your damn mind.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Like if this happened in the 90s or the 2000s and like Charlize Theron passed on the Eileen Wuornos story, her agent would have sent her out for this, is what I'm saying. Like she would have needed, like, this would have been the backup role. 100%.
Right. It's a, yes.
Can you look unhinged? You got the part. Yep.
You got the part. So, that is definitely an episode of something. It's so, okay. Tell me another one, just because I want to see a pattern here. You got another one in the,
I got another
one. Chamber?
So you harken back to Val Kilmer roles that are on Betamax. Did you ever hear about his name? He has different names if you look up his wiki, but the docuseries that came out, it's on Hulu, is called The Beauty Queen Killer. His name's Christopher Wilder. Did you ever hear about this guy? This was in the 80s. I never knew who he was, and I'm pretty tapped in with these sorts of folks, particularly being here in the state of California, where our chief export is, in fact, serial killers. But he wasn't.
Wisconsin. He's doing better than you.
Dahmer.
Are you kidding me? I'm from Wisconsin.
Yeah, you got Dahmer. We got
Gein, Ed Gein. Ed Gein.
Ed Gein. Okay. All right.
You remember Ed Gein?
Vaguely.
So he was the one who Hannibal Lecter was based on.
Oh, that's right. Because Gacy was Illinois. Yeah.
Right. And in Illinois is so close, my friend. There's long winters. Long winters will create possibly a serial killer or really good comics.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Michigan, so it was a road less traveled sort of deal, and I got out of there.
It was right there. Yep. It was right there.
Could have been. Got to get Netflix somehow, so that
you get up to the UP. I bet you there's somebody doing some stuff. They're hiding some bodies.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Not great. All right. So
the Beauty King Killer. Yeah.
It's a good one. So it's this guy. His name is Christopher Wilder. He's from Australia and he's a contractor and he moves to South Florida and he's still a contractor, but he starts posing as a photographer for a magazine and luring young women with the option, you could be. And this is, this is the magazine era. So this is when you could still pull that off,
Right.
You could still pull that off.
My niece at 16, my brother found out about it because a glamorous photo showed up of her in the mail. And he was like, what is that? What? This is terrifying. Who? And he said he was an ex-cop. And I said,
oh, no,
that is actually not actually helpful. That is actually a giant red flag factory. But he didn't kill her. And it was just weird.
Where did she meet this person? Did you ever get any context about that?
He at school.
At school? Oh, my God.
At school or a coffee shop near school. But she literally, he picked her up at their house. She was 15. Went to his house. She brought several outfits. He didn't have creepy outfits for her, I believe. But she did makeup. And then he took all these pictures. And then he said, I'll send them to you. And then he did. And then my brother drove over to his apartment and had a conversation with that guy. So he was like,
okay, kneecap. Yeah, what the fuck? Is
like, yeah, this is not okay, my not friend. This is, you do this, you cannot do this. This is children. So,
and having her address, like what? This would never, in 2024, this wouldn't get past, hi, how are you doing? Like that, it would be over, like immediate creep. You'd be on, there'd be a 10-part talk series about this guy.
Well, and we always assumed she was a smart young woman. And she is she ended up, she's an EMT now. She's going to nursing school. She's a very, she lived.
Frontal lobe development is a wonderful thing, We figure it out eventually.
So the beauty queen, so he's an Australian guy.
Yes.
Who's living in South Florida.
Yes.
Who is essentially hitting on high school girls.
Yes. College students, high school girls. Yes. And similar to your almost missing relative,
Right.
He would scout them at the mall when the mall was still a third place for youth to go.
Right.
I guess it still kind of is, but you know what I mean? Back then, mall was everything, of course.
Right.
So went to the mall.
Well into the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Went to the 90s. Like, and that was his kind of thing. And then he would lure them to his home. Choppity chop chop. Bam, 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 bam. And he started to quite literally rack up a list of bodies. And then he started to take his show on the road. He came out to this area, found a young woman in Torrance, and then basically made her his unwilling accomplice. And they start going across the country and they're picking up other people. I don't know how where's our latitude with spoilers? Do we care in the forest? Do we want to spoil?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
it's especially with documentaries, it's fine. That because especially with documentaries, I'm like, if I want to see this documentary, I want to see how it plays out. But I do want to hear where it's I want to hear about it first. And I will put that it's spoilered.
Fair. So. All right. Well, listeners, viewers, you've been spoiled. Dude, hit pause. Go watch. Do whatever you got to do. The bottom line is this guy eventually gets caught, you know, takes himself out of the equation, if you will. But.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Here's what I've always.
Yes.
And I will say this till my dying day, it's suicide and then homicide. Do not do homicide, then suicide. That is not as efficient. Suicide, then homicide. I know that some people advocate for the first. Okay. So.
You mean like if you're doing both, I was going to say, how does that,
yeah,
is that a
yeah,
dual
yeah,
action
it's usually,
sort of thing?
Because people usually kill a bunch of people
right.
and then they kill themselves.
Right.
I'm like, cut right to the chase, kill yourself. And then if maybe find out if ghosting is real. And then maybe come back and homicide
okay. so
after if
okay.
possible.
So supernaturals we're factoring into this. All right. All right.
Anything.
Fair.
I have no idea. All I want you to do is to stop killing people. So
well, he stopped.
If you're thinking about it, he did stop.
Well,
wait, what happened to his unwilling accomplice? And I would like to hear how that happened.
So she was lured and picked up in Torrance, and for whatever reason he decided to, I think he had drawn some heat, because now he had been like in the South kind of booping and bopping around, really kind of the Chitlin' circuit, if you will, for serial killing.
Oh, sure.
And
could Sober book that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it was Levity Live that took him through the, he's doing the Columbus funny bone on his way to California. So he gets to Torrance, picks her up, he feels the heat, starts making himself cross country. Then they get another woman from, I believe, Indiana. She's with
okay.
them. Her and the unwilling accomplice start, you know, tripping when this guy is like pumping gas or not paying attention. This other woman who they interview, thank God, she is essentially dropped in the woods, and I believe she is shot. And he thinks, or he does something to her, he ties her up, something to that effect, where it's not good. And he thinks this woman is dead or incapacitated, but she's not. She frees herself. Finally gets the authorities to say, hey, I've been kidnapped by this is the guy that you're looking for, because now this is a nationwide manhunt. So now they find him, I believe, in the Northeast, and then obviously it's a standoff, and that's when he dies. The juicy part about this, if you care not to watch it or whatever, and you do your own research, is that there are so many murders, bodies, unsolved murders that are tied to this guy. It makes every other serial killer look like grade school T-ball, going all the way back to Australia, where he's linked to a murderous rampage in Australia before he gets out of the country. That's how far this goes. The web.
Right. He started early.
Yeah.
So he started as a teen.
Yes.
Right.
Some people go to trade school. He decided to be a professional killer.
Some people get a local library card. This guy locally just likes to find a bunch of people and kill them.
Yeah.
A classic.
Yeah.
Proficient
in Excel and murder.
So now, right. Because he had spreadsheets. Yeah. What is the woman who got coerced, so they interview her in this?
Yes, so they interview both. It pings back and forth with the interview of the woman who's from Torrance and then the woman who they picked up in Indiana, Midwest.
From Indiana. Yeah.
So they kind of go back and forth.
So does she get, essentially she's coerced because he says, you have to help me or I'll kill you?
Basically, yes. Like, you're coming with me. You're going to, basically what she started doing, not to bury the lead of the scheme, is she started doing what he was doing in Southern Florida, where she would be at the malls and be like, hey, you're pretty. Do you want to be a model? And that was kind of her reeling
in.
She
was the procurer.
The procurer of the bait was her, her assigned task.
Okay. Well, has anyone done any follow-up to find out if she's still killing people? Because she is clearly, or did she go to jail? I hope so.
So that was a point of cliffhangers and contention with watching this and some of the discussion that you heard. Is like, what was this woman's role really? Of course, she is, understandably so, painting herself as like an unwilling accomplice. But there is a bit of vagary there in terms of like where her participation kind of stopped and started and stopped, basically.
Yeah.
So she was never tried or convicted. But it is a little bit, which I kind of like about this docuseries. It's kind of left in the air for you to decide, like, did this woman really a damsel in distress, or did she, chloroform rag somebody? I don't. It's in the
That's
wiki.
Fine.
It's all in the wiki.
Okay.
Christopher
it's
Wilder.
All in the wiki, you guys.
Yep.
The beauty queen killer. And then the Indiana woman. Do we follow her until she goes? And so I help them go find this guy. And now I'm going to go try and live my life.
Yeah.
Possibly as a philosophy professor at Rutgers.
Yeah. And actually, it's like when people say, Walter White, that was the witness protection program for Hal and Malcolm in the Middle, and that's what his life was as Heisenberg. She became a Rutgers professor, and now has
and then be- went into
forgot
the
what
next.
Consent means. Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Oh my gosh, so crazy. Okay.
A lot of meat on the bone. A lot of stuff going on.
These are ones that we've never talked about here on the Dork Forest. By the way, I am talking with Benny Blue, who has a new, very dark, very funny special, an album out called Live from My Mother's Funeral. And it's at Benny Blue Eyes on Instagram and at BennyBlueEyes.com for absolutely everything. You'll find the rest of it, including the video of the program, if you're not on Apple or Amazon or whatever. So Benny Blue Eyes, by the way, you did two E's. Congratulations. You were just like, I'm going to spell both words.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a weird like smash.
And then
so I appreciate it.
Not going to get grammar policed on me. We're going to make sure syntax is correct. It's great.
Can we
turn this into a justifiable shameless plug connection with true crime to a degree?
Yes.
Bit sadder, bit more redneck, but crime elements nonetheless. It's still in there. So, in this special, and this one I won't spoil the punches.
Right.
This is just the framework.
There will be funny in the special.
Yeah, you'll find it.
Here, we're just going to find out the sad story that inspired the comedy for Live from My Mother's Funeral.
Right.
Okay.
So something that actually happened that is featured in the special is the day that my mom died was one of the most chaotic days I've ever experienced ever. Now, she, for context, before people freak out and say this is you die, she died like an action hero or an action villain, really. She was on her way out. So let's not feel too bad. She had bone cancer that metastasized. It was going down. I had been there for like a month prior, and in a way it worked out well where we could go through the process and be there for it. This wasn't a sudden traumatic thing. However, the circumstances were quite ridiculous. So she lived in, her and my dad lived in a apartment building that was basically made up of college students, because they're in a college town, or we'll say people trying to find their way, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Those type of folks. Some folks who may not get approved in other apartments. And they were sort of like the grandparents of the building. Everybody knew them. They said hello. It was great. There was crime and nefarious things afoot, but generally speaking, they stayed away from it because everybody loved them.
Did they live in Michigan?
They were in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is Western Michigan University. So,
Yes.
So that's where they were. That's where my dad is still today. The day that she died, another apartment in their building, because it was a bunch of separate buildings, not all together in one thing. Caught on fire because a person let their ex-boyfriend, who was, for the record, banned from the premises, stay the night. Right. He had been drinking, and he put some food on the stove, and he fell asleep, and then he woke up to the place being ablaze. So I was staying at an adjacent kind of Airbnb situation, and I got a text from my brother-in-law that said, you need to get here now. Now, I was oddly enough close enough where I could walk, which turned into a sprint because we knew that my mom was going to die. And when I show up, it is like the ending of a disaster movie. There are EMTs, fire department, police, everybody outside of their apartment. And now my mom has been wheeled out and has now passed away. Eyes still open. That's a cool visual right in front of everybody. And now we are the museum exhibit. We are what's for dinner. So rather than my mom passing away in a way that you would think would be decent, it was the
Asphyxiation?
No. So she they got her out. She was literally like the death rattle, like she was dying, regardless.
Oh, she was in hospice?
No, she was still at their apartment. But it was it was time. Like we had stopped, they'd stopped chemo. And so she was dying regardless. It had nothing to do with the fire. It was just the circumstances made it so insane because now.
Oh, it just looked much more dramatic because she passed away.
She's on a stretcher and there's everybody, local news, choppers, all this sort of stuff. So it became this whole to do.
Right. Because they thought that it had something to do with the fire initially. Right. And then they're like, oh. And but she had passed away and then she came into essentially backdraft.
Right.
Right.
Yes. And yes. And we had to tell the medical examiner, no, she did not, in fact, inhale smoke. Like if I would have poked her, she died. Like that was it. That's how close she was to going. So it was insane. And I wrapped this up in a nice bow. With some punches, some jokes, some callbacks.
Right, there's some punches. There's some callbacks.
It's all in there. But that's
it's all in there. Live from my mother's funeral. You're going to want to hear this. It's a hilarious eulogy from BennyBlueEyes.com. And but yeah, so that's crazy. Yeah. I thought you were going to tell at the beginning of this when we first started. I thought that she had been serial killed.
Wouldn't that have been delightful?
I have told this story a dozen times. If anybody's playing a drinking game out there, Rangers, did you know I was going to tell this story? You live it up. Because here it is. My Uncle Tom, you remember, as a true crime fan, you know the story of cyanide in the capsules of the Tylenol.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Okay. They never caught that guy.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Now, there was a copycat incident where there was cyanide in a can of Coke in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, same year, months later, and someone died, and that was my Uncle Tom. That's right.
Get out of here.
Get out of town.
That's when we drink. When the guest is shocked, well, get out of here.
No, as soon as I bring up my Uncle Tom, as soon as I bring up the Tylenol, they're just like, they're going, is there a skip 30 seconds? Is there a skip 30? Jackie,
there a better
I get
help
it.
Commercial? You know, figure it out.
Right, because what it was is my Uncle Tom was not a good person. And he had embezzled money from any number of places.
Oh,
he had embezzled money from the state of Wisconsin where he worked for. And they caught him. And they said, if you give us back the money, we won't press charges. So he, So he paid the money. And then they didn't press charges. And then his church, he was embezzling money from his church. And they caught him. And they said, well, if you return the money, we won't press charges. So he got his parents in Door County to second mortgage their house. And then they didn't press charges. And then he got caught. Wait, the first one was the parents. The second one, he borrowed money on the street. That's right. It only happened twice. He borrowed money on the streets of Milwaukee. Now, that's how we found out about it, because he had also embezzled, I guess, from my dad, but my dad never noticed. Anyway, he was like, but he had borrowed money on the streets of Milwaukee, and it's as tough as Kalamazoo, right? So there are some dirt bags, and there are some people who will lend you some money, but he wasn't paying it back, and he wasn't even paying back the interest or the VIG, right? So my dad is sitting at this restaurant, and this guy that he knows, because my dad knows some real dirtbags. This guy comes up to me and says, "You related to Tom Dresser?" And my dad goes, "Yeah, he's my brother-in-law." And he goes, "Well, he borrowed some money on the street. He's not paying him back. They're going to hurt him." And my dad's like, "Oh, shoot." And so, but get this. So my Uncle Tom gets this idea. The cyanide thing is happening in Tylenol. So my dad gets this idea. My uncle gets this idea that he's going to poison my aunt for the insurance money. And they're going to blame it on the cyanide guy. So he invites my Aunt Shelley to a picnic during the day, something he never did. He's like, "Hey, let's have a romantic picnic in the park in Menominee Falls. You bring the food, I'll bring the beverages.
I'll bring the Tylenol."
And then, so he shows up and he never drank Coke. This is how much I remember from my childhood. He was a clear soda guy. Sprite, your lemon limes, your Shasta.
Hey, anyway, hey, clear pop. Come on, have some decent.
So the speculation is he put the cyanide in the Coke because she drank Coke. And the cops afterwards were like, they thought, well, maybe he tasted it to see if you could taste the cyanide. And he died.
Get out of here. Wow.
He is the dumbest, worst criminal. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. But my Aunt Shelley, on the other hand, was like, there's been a miscarriage of justice. He was killed by the cyanide guy. They found a spoon in his pocket with cyanide on it.
Oh my gosh. Where can I watch this, by the way? Speaking of sending right. me links, where's this link? Holy Moses.
But I think the reenactment of this story would be amazing. Would
no,
it not?
I think that's incredible. That's like, yeah, that's like whatever they said about Fargo, like this is the second coming. This is a like bumbling criminals. By the way, favorite part of that story was like the Midwest Sopranos confrontation of your dad where they were like meant business but they were still nice about it,
right?
I'm owes some money, like they wouldn't have the heart to whack him in the diner. They would just have a chat about it.
We're gonna have to talk to this guy. We're gonna take him bass fishing. He's not coming back,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's
a little gentle.
My father's he's adjacent to the Milwaukee mob, which, by the way, they're not Corleones. They're not Sopranos. This is, you know, it's Tony Bruno.
Yeah, they're at the,
you know,
at the
it's
Club. Yeah.
It's Frank Pulaski.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And so.
A lot of Polish seals over the door. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a lot of that vibe.
They're fighting the good fight. They're telling those Polish jokes that are based on those moron jokes, which are based on the old jokes from the 1800s. There's a lot of joke books out there. Anyway, that's what I thought. Like, I love that your mom just said, I mean, it's very sad, obviously, but just being wheeled into essentially a movie set drama and fire and all of these things.
Think,
that's crazy.
I think Aerosmith Don't Want to Miss a Thing started playing and she was in slow motion. So a lot going on.
Right.
Yeah.
a lot going on. So you have two that you've, wait. Yeah, two that you've, and McMillions. We'll count McMillions as the suggested one.
Yeah.
Is there, I don't know, when you look at a true crime thing, are there any that are like sort of happy ending?
There is. I got one for you. So it's called American Nightmare, another Netflix one. Now,
okay.
I don't know. Another thing, I was hearkening to recurring themes a little bit early in this episode. One thing that is always afoot in these sort of productions is white women going missing in Northern California or Utah or anything really north of like Lake Tahoe. They love that region to be like, we'll disappear. I don't know what it is.
So beautiful up there. Yosemite.
Yosemite, unassuming, and they're just gone. They're just on a poster, on a milk crate, on a milk carton.
Well, and here... And I will interject and say that it's almost always women. And the only reason that white women are getting more publicity is because the black and brown women that are killed are just abandoned.
Yeah.
So, but at least someone's looking into the death of white women.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Or,
so there you go. American Nightmare.
Yeah. Or in some cases, the fictionalized kidnapping of white women in lots of cases. However, in American Nightmare, you are led to believe that, oh, it's yet another woman, white woman was full of it. They're calling it the next Gone Girl. It was all what was in the news about 10 years ago. So they're calling it, okay, it the real life Gone Girl. And the chief suspect, of course, is her husband. Sweet guy, seeming. They build a lot of the interviews around that. But again, Rangers, spoiler, okay? Do what you need to do. Okay. Turns out, really kidnapped. Turns out she was really kidnapped and assaulted and all the things. And she escaped. And she got back to her husband, who didn't do it. And they're still together. And they have children.
Oh.
Happy ending.
Right. Wow. Happy ending. Did they ever catch the person who did do it to her?
I believe that they did. Again, another wiki.
Okay.
Another wiki.
Right.
Find the details.
Look into it.
But
look into
it,
folks.
But she was in Northern California, and she was taken, I believe, down this way-ish, maybe further than the greater LA area. So she stayed in state. Convenient.
Oh.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you something about California. It's huge.
Huge.
It's genuinely the largest state I've ever been in.
Yeah.
And I've been to Alaska, which is technically larger, but we flew. So I've never had to drive from LA to Crescent. I've driven from LA to Crescent City, which is Oregon. And it was a 16-hour drive, and it's dumb. So she was kidnapped, and they took her like south of LA, like to San Diego-ish.
So I don't know if it was that far, but basically what helped her is that she grew up in that area. And I believe it was somebody that she used to date ended up being the culprit. Sort of deal.
Ooh, that's a classic too. That's the numbers on that are very,
tale
very
is old as time. Old right, scorned ex.
Right. A tale is something that's happening sadly right now.
Right at this moment.
Right now, some very disappointed guy who cannot move on is taking it out on someone who
is
already
setting up generals with Apple TV whilst coming up with this plan. It's quite the industrial complex we develop here. So she gets down there and she grew up there. So I think what happens is she ends up making her way to like her parents' house, which is how she's found.
Weird.
And they see her being let out of a car, like on a ring camera. And she's like disheveled. But the way they present it is very smartly done, because it does make you think that she's full of crap.
Oh, they kind of set it up.
They
as
set it up.
We didn't believe this.
Yes.
So that's how we're going to go into this. Yes. Is going, we didn't believe it. And then she proved essentially her innocence.
Yes.
See, this might be my problem but I do. I mean, the thing is that is a triumphant story.
Yeah.
I once did a dork forest with a woman who locked her daughter and herself. They would practice getting out of locked trunks.
As you do on a Saturday.
Because they watch so much true crime, and she was so afraid that she or her daughter were going to get snatched, that they practice sort of getting out of handcuffs and getting out of locked trunks and
aren't there releases?
And she said her daughter was really good at it.
Aren't there releases in trunks to do this? I feel like there's a thing.
I think that in the newer cars there are. Yeah. Because, and I only know that because I read a murder mystery novel that said, oh, this is an older car that doesn't have that. This is a newer car that chose not to have that. And you're like, why would a newer car choose not to have that? That seems like a terrible, but you still have to be able to find it, right?
Yeah.
Because you're in it and you're like, am I in a late model BMW? I think it's to the left of the keyhole. Like, you'd have to memorize like different kinds of cars.
What a world that we live in where you have to figure out the make and model in order to escape your own kidnapping.
Right, because you are captured and possibly blindfolded.
A Camry. You can actually, the switch is right here, actually. So that's in the
I like that there seems to be a Mylar balloon behind you.
Yes,
is it your birthday?
Yeah, it's a congratulations. My fiance is like, hey, you put out the special. Here are balloons from the grocery store, which are very sweet. So
if it looks like
Pennywise is behind me, that's what that balloon represents.
It's congratulations on putting out your special, which, thanks, by the way, is called Live from My Mother's Funeral.
Oh, right into
and
a
it's Benny Blue Eyes. Might as well. We're doing it. So, okay, well, how about another one? What else you got?
All right, so this one is the inverse of American Nightmare. Called this one got a lot of buzz on the TikToks and the Reddits. It's called The Perfect Wife, and it's about this woman named Sherry Papini. Now, Sherry Papini is what you would consider to be a central casting docuseries kidnapped, scorned, blonde white lady. She checks all the boxes, you know?
Okay.
For casting it, she would have been probably Reese Witherspoon back in the day. Really just, sure. just going down the list. It's great.
Right.
On this one, though, she comes up with an elaborate scheme to fake her kidnapping and frame her husband. And you talked about black and brown women being disregarded in this process of being found. As she does, that was perfectly on brand. Part of her story to the police blames a Mexican person. Yep. She slid that in. Wow. There. Had to slide in the racism.
Just for kicks.
Just to be like, get them off the scent. Oh, it was one of those people coming over the border. I think she's at Trump's rally in Reno next week.
So right. Appearance. And that guy's like third generation.
Right.
So speaks better English than she does. But she sets up essentially her own thing because she wants to get rid of her husband.
Well, basically she's
the perfect wife.
She wants to end things with her husband. I don't think she wants to end her husband, but
this seems so elaborate. Yeah. It just break up, you guys.
Yeah, really well
was
thought
there
out.
A cash and prizes? Like was she hoping to get all the money because he'd go to jail or something?
I think she legitimately thought, and this is another one that happened within the last few years, that she could just like disappear and people would like go out in the woods for a day and a half and be like, she left, and just call it a day. And she also moved in with a ex-lover in Southern California and then started to do the whole give myself bruises and gashes. And she really committed to the bit. Like he picked her up on the side of the highway. She tied herself up, did the fake 911 call, really just, you know, CIA level planning and plotting for her own kidnapping, which ended up being bullshit.
Bullshit. And hopefully she is getting some sort of psychiatric help after no doubt being charged with fraud and having to pay a lot of fines.
Yeah.
But I bet you she's no longer married.
Oh, yeah. He's happily on the apps, I would assume.
Yeah, I'm sure he's like, you could have just said. And
must love dogs. Right. Must not own any bondage paraphernalia.
Here's another story about me, Jackie Cation, in your hour, Benny Blue.
Ready to drink.
Is that this is my first relationship. Like I had a short-lived boyfriend in college for a year. And but this is the first time, and I've been married now since 2006. We got together in 2003. And so I look at other people's relationships and think, now, why are they staying? It's because I currently live with my mother-in-law, and she's lived with us for 2.5 years. And Andy insists that this is not true, but I think this is literally the first thing he's ever asked of me. That, because we live in a very small house and it is a lot of work for all three of us to not kill each other, right?
I was going to say, by the way, not to interject, but it sounds like small house living with mother-in-law. Sounds like you're setting up your own documentary, if you know what I'm saying. Like we're right
another
there.
Documentary. Yeah. There it is. Too bad my Uncle Tom died. And so, because he would have made it really complicated and then fucked it up. This is a personal question. Is this, you seem an adult man who's been out in the world for some time.
Actually,
there you go. And is this sort of like, have you had several girlfriends? I mean, I'm not saying you're a Lothario, but have you had several relationships?
I haven't had several relationships. No, I've only had a couple prior to this. What will be to death. With a current one.
Because this is a nice person.
Yeah.
This is a good person. And you guys congratulations. My husband came out of a 9-year relationship with another person.
Wow.
And then he had a couple of girlfriends before that. And so, I mean, I think to some extent he's a serial monogamist, much like my brother Scott, who he's just like, no, it's good. It'll just be us. That'll be great. And makes that person actually quite easy to live with, because there's not a lot of, you know, it's sort of a roommate with benefits kind of thing.
They're
just like, this is, and we have a lot in common. So we tend to dork out a lot. It's if you have any interest in the pile of Hot Wheels and board games that are going on.
Oh,
and then
my
behind
God.
Me, of course, are the HeroClix.
Look at that. Oh, my God.
It is. It's HeroClix and Magic the Gathering cards.
And by the way, I find myself doing this, too. And I did this a lot before I got to this stage in life where you do look at people in long term committed relationships. You're kind of like, I wonder what that's happening there behind the curtain. And that's a part of this thing with the perfect wife, where a big thing of it, you know, hence the title and the presentation, is they put on a good face. It's a lot of let's take a selfie. It's a lot of let's be seen places. And she really dials up being a sociopath to another level to really get people to buy into this happiness.
That is amazing, because it is so like it just you because you do think about what's behind the curtain. And I never think like I have a new bit right now where I ask, because he's a game designer and makes video games.
Oh,
and
cool.
So the setup is whenever we are making the sweet, sweet love, do you ever think about game design while we're doing it? And he said, that question is a trap. And I said, Art. I am not a trap question person because I sometimes think about comedy. But the that's the premise of the joke, but because I'm not, and it's not being smart enough, I'm just not I don't care enough. Like I would never like you read about like girlfriends and wives going through their husband's phones or their calendars, or you know, I don't have time for it.
But that's what you find out. I've learned that. Maybe you've learned that better than me, but now that I'm getting to the point of marriage and that sort of thing, that's already setting in. I'm like, if we're farting in front of each other, it's you kind of locked in at that point. You
know what I mean? Yeah, it can't possibly. Right.
I heard you in the bathroom. It's over, baby. Yes. We're locked in.
Right. We know each other. There's no need for like more levels and stuff, but it's just like I mean, there's a trust thing that has to happen, obviously. But in my case, it's trust married to like, I just, this seems great. If you're living some other life in addition to this, that's a lot of energy, buddy. You got more energy than I do. I don't have time for other boyfriends or other, you know, like another family. It'd be hard as a woman to have another family and have no one notice. But
we should bring that back, by the way, for entertainment purposes, like the second family. Remember the second
family? It was still happening.
No, but I mean, it was in its day, though. You remember it used to be in the second family used to be in its day.
It's really true. It's a little hard to get away with it now with the internet. Yeah. It's there's too many. That guy looks like dad, right? That guy looks like dad, right. And too many and not enough Instagram accounts for they're not the algorithm not to go. Let's put them together.
Right. The algorithm will take you out. At are you my dad? Submit your headshots today, and it's over with. You're done in 5 minutes.
Right. Okay. So you sadly only got to talk about five of your favorites, but they're good ones. They're actually kind of fascinating and a different variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's try to spice it up. Give you some options. You know, Rain has got some work to do. Got some stuff.
Is there anything you're looking forward to? Like that's coming out that you haven't seen.
There's one I'm not gonna this would be a separate episode, even though I'm not gonna you know what, with further respect for the true like wrestling fans out there, I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm a huge wrestling fan. However, there's one that just came out today, which is about Vince McMahon and creating the empire of the WWE/F, which I'm pretty excited to watch just because I grew up with old school wrestling. But that's one that I'm looking forward to that literally just came out today. So I'm probably going to watch that.
Okay. And do you think, let's just speculative fiction. Do you think Vince McMahon, that there's some bodies somewhere? that he's...
Oh, 100%. Stamford, Connecticut has
just
Jimmy
loose.
Hoffa lights under concrete. I can tell you that.
Here's the thing about... A lot of people don't know this about Connecticut. A lot of peat bogs, a lot of Ocean Spray, cranberry bogs, which is a great place to lose a body.
Yeah, a lot of... In the marsh, right up in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's... Who read Lord of the Rings, huh? The dead marshes. They're there. They're staring up at you. Anyway, that's a deep cut of my own. I'm just going to... Betty Blue, thank you so much for doing the Dork Forest.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, super fun. And everybody, find him. You know what? You can do this. BennyBlueEyes.com, at Benny Blue Eyes on Instagram. Live from My Mother's Funeral is the name of the special. It is out now. And you will like it because you seem great. And
can I put that on my website? You...
Yeah.
Take a cash in. You will like it. Period. You seem great. That's the review. Is that a credit?
Is that if you need a blurb that bad?
Yeah, I need a press blurb. You will like it. You seem great.
Done and done. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?